Well, good morning. Good morning. Are you thankful today? I can tell you I am. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us in praise and adoration already this morning. And look at there, the Ports are here. Welcome, guys. Sean, if you'd have told us you were coming, we had a place for you to serve. I mean, you know, it's like you always have a place to serve, and Ainsley, you as well. Many of you probably remember Sean. He was with us from the very beginning, in the very beginning days when we were doing Vacation Bible School out in the park before we even opened. Sean and Paul were working on the computer and getting things moving and moving in a grooving and unloading trucks and loading trucks. And boy, we did that a lot, didn't we? I'm surprised you guys found us. We've been all over town since we started. So good to have you guys with us this morning. And everybody else as well. Good to have you here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed them in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it to the fence in time. Terrified, one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never prayed a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up on us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I've known, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We are in that season, aren't we? And we have so much to be thankful for. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I had the privilege of being with Reverend Jim Book, who is our district secretary. He came and facilitated a service at Lost Lake this morning. It was a wonderful experience. He kind of gave us, I know, reason for pause, and that was he shared that sometimes we as believers in Christ who have been delivered from the hopelessness and darkness of sin, forget what it's like to live there. The people that we pass day in and day out at our jobs, at school, are still living under that weight of doubt and fear and hopelessness and chaos. And it does us well to remember that we were there once too, and God has saved us to a new life. Amen. The first American Thanksgiving didn't occur in 1621 when a group of pilgrims shared a feast with a group of friendly Indians. The first recorded Thanksgiving took place in Virginia more than 11 years earlier, and it wasn't a feast. In 1610, the winter at Jamestown had reduced a group of 409 settlers down to 60. That's a tough winter. The survivors prayed for help without knowing how it would come. And when help arrived in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England, a prayer of thanksgiving was offered, and a prayer meeting was held to give thanks to God. There's an old gospel music song that used to talk about the good old gospel ship, because we too were starving, hungry, hurting, living in darkness, cold, shivering from sin's effects. And then Jesus came, amen? And we welcomed his supply line into our life. We welcomed his forgiveness. We welcomed his life into us. Luke is the only gospel that records this event of these 10 lepers. Leprosy was a disease which the Jews at that time believed that God sent to people in order to punish them. It wasn't quite correct theology, but I'm not going to argue with the ancient Jews, are you? Wouldn't do any good. But they believed that God used leprosy as a way to punish. It was considered a mark of God's displeasure. And accompanying that was all of the social and cultural stigma that accompanied not only the disease, but the sense of God has disapproved of you. I'm so thankful we live in an age of grace now, amen? That God does not hold our sins against us. Leprosy was a disease. The term leprosy is a generic name given to various skin diseases, to the dreaded malady that resulted in the loss of fingers and toes. These lepers met Jesus at a certain village. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. You see, God had given instructions to the Levites, and it was the priests that actually made the diagnosis, much like a doctor would today, in regards to whether this person had leprosy or not. Verse 44, the man is diseased and unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean! Unclean! As long as he had the infection and the infection remained, he was unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. That would be a tough place to live. With the social stigma, the cultural stigma of being in the disfavor of God. And in addition, experiencing the terrible effects of leprosy. The lepers met Jesus as he entered the village, and they cried out, Master, have pity on us. They were of mixed nationality. I remember the day, the Sunday after 9/11 hit. We were serving in Canton, Illinois at the time, Canton First Church. And I remember the tremendous sense of unity in the church and also in America at the time, a sense of a unified front against evil. These lepers were of mixed nationality. It didn't matter who was from where. It didn't matter about the background. They had one thing in common. They were all affected, terribly stricken by this terrible disease. Let's not forget what it feels like to live the life of sin. Let's not forget, talking in an analogy here, of course, these men were dealing with a very real disease, but in some ways, sin is like leprosy. It creates isolation and it creates loneliness, except for the small community that tries to keep everything patched up and moving. So thankful for Jesus' healing. Jew and Samaritan united, probably one of the only places between those different nationalities where there was their unity. And they stood at a distance and cried out, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." They didn't ask for Jesus to heal them at that moment, but to have mercy on them. And that is our cry as well. Amen. When we came to Christ, that was our first cry. Lord, have mercy, and may your grace be sufficient to cover the sin in my life. Compassion of Jesus was once again evident. He does have mercy on them. The sight of the leper colony had to be gruesome and awful. Skin turning gray, faces marred by gray death, hands and feet gone. This sight was common, and most had grown accustomed to it. And I think it's important that we stop and think about that for a moment. When the heart of Jesus grips our hearts daily, he continues to give us his eyes and his perspective into life, doesn't he? And every time we see a need, we are gripped with God's compassion. They don't ask for Jesus to cure them, but they do ask him to have mercy on them. You know, even in our own lives, there's times that we forget what things really look like. When, as a pastor, I always try to come into the building for the first time every Sunday morning. And I try to think, if I were coming in here for the very first time, what would I see as a guest? Because I know what happens when we start to see things as regulars. Things can remain unkept and things can be a little bit out of place and things can get a little bit messy. Well, we don't see it because we live there. But the newcomer sees. And rightly so, because they're scanning the landscape to see if it's a place where they might be able to fit, a place where they might be able to find community. Let's not forget to remember that sin isn't ordinary. Sin isn't to be a normal resident in our life. Amen? That when Jesus comes in, he sees it. It may, at times, when we get accustomed and we get to experience the love of God day in and day out, and we get wrapped in his grace, that even sin, to the person who lives there, can become ordinary and common and normalized. But it shouldn't, amen? It should be abnormal in our eyes. That's why we have to pray for God to give us new eyes, his eyes, every morning, to not only see our own lives, but to see the lives around us. That lives broken down by sin and hardship and loss and grief, Jesus wants to bring deliverance and redemption, just as he has done in our lives. I love it that Jesus didn't get used to it. He had walked the streets of Galilee since he was a child, and he didn't get used to the fact that there were people in need. It just stirred him. And we have need calling to us at every corner of our lives, don't we? Let's remember to be aware and sensitive and never just tune it out. It's important that we, as Jesus, never get used to the fact that there is need, the fact that sin still needs a cure. And he simply tells those guys to go and show themselves to the priests. And this was required by law. In fact, turn over there to Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. While you're turning, I too want to add my welcome to those who are joining us online this morning. And thanks to Mark for, if you're watching Mark and Pam from, I think you're in Oklahoma, is it? Thanks for leaving your camera so that we could continue to do the live stream this morning. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of his ceremonial cleansing, when he is brought to the priest." And it goes on then and tells the regulations for the ceremony of cleansing. You see, it was the priest that diagnosed the problem, and it was the priest that conducted the ceremony of cleansing. Once the priest pronounced them healed, they would be restored to full social and religious fellowship. And you know, when you're sick, when you're down to nothing, all of a sudden we become grateful for the very smallest of things that represent light and life and truth. Amen? It can be the littlest thing. When we're down and it just seems like our world has collapsed and it's dark and it's grim and it's lonely, just someone smiling changes our disposition. It means everything. And as Jesus was walking into this town, into a scene that everybody had gotten used to, Jesus stopped and he administered his help and healing. That's not only our role as his hands and feet, but it is our experience that we too have been where these guys are, in need of his touch, just like people all around us. Let's not forget to smile. Amen. Let's not forget to give a word of encouragement. And let's not forget that life can be hard, amen? Let's not forget that sometimes people go through really hard stuff that they didn't ask for. But no, nonetheless, it's a true experience in their lives. Perhaps the presence of the word cleansed means that they were cleansed of more than leprosy. To have the priest pronounce them as healed, they would be restored. And perhaps even more important than the physical restoration to them was the fact that they could be restored back into community. You know what the deepest need of every human heart is? That's what it is. Being loved and being part of a community. If we can't find acceptance and love and grace, it's unbearable. It's agony. That's why We are thankful that God has accepted us into his family. Amen. I just want to thank you, God. Thank you, because I too was standing at the city gate, eaten up by the effects and cause of sin. And everybody had normalized it and just said, that's the way it's going to be. It's the way it's just the cards he'd been dealt. And then Jesus came by and said, that's not normal. That's the hands and feet of the church that looks into the community and says, that's not right. That's not normal. It can change. It can be different. In the grace and mercy that we have been shown, we express thanksgiving to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and become his hands and feet as we administer his help and healing in every area of life. They had a lot of things in common, these guys. They were all alike. They were all afflicted with the dreadful disease. All were determined to do something about it. All had heard about Jesus and believed he might be able to cure them to the very last. At the very least, he would take pity on them. All appealed to Jesus, acknowledging him as rabbi or master, and all in obedience to Christ's command proceeded on their way to the priests, and all were healed of leprosy. But there's more. But wait. There's more. Remember last two Sundays we've been talking about sanctification. Because God not only wants to bring help and healing in every area of our life, he wants to cure the deep heart problem of sin. Amen. You remember the story of the little girl? I think I might have, this might be the third time I've told it, but it's really good. Little girl, family taking them on vacation, and the dad says, you're just going to love the Atlantic Ocean. You're just going to love it. You're going to love it. And he began to build it up in her mind, and it was an amazing several-hour trip all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. She got out of the car and put her feet into the sand and looked out at the horizon at that beautiful Atlantic body of water just stretched as far as you could see. And her dad was thinking, oh, yes. And she looked up at her dad, put her hands on her hips, and said, well, what's next? This is what's next. It does us well to remember that Jesus not only has compassion on us where we are in our finances and in our relationships and in our marriages and in our physical health and emotional health, that Jesus wants to go all the way in, amen, and bring the ultimate healing. Not only healing us of the actual sins that we've committed, but actually bringing help and restoration and ultimate healing and redeeming us from the sin that we have been born with, the sin of Adam. That sin that wars with God about who's Lord. And then Jesus continues to be Lord. And his grace is sufficient to meet every need. And his blood brings about that cleansing. The point of similarity ends here, though. I can imagine that as they went, they were cleansed. I love that, because you remember the movie Forrest Gump? And he was running, and, you know, I don't remember the story, but run, Forrest, run! And the car was chasing him full of bullies. Remember that? And he had braces on his legs, and he was running, and he was running. And a little bit at a time, the braces began to break, and they began to fall off. And man, he was like a gazelle. As they went in obedience to Jesus Christ, they were cleansed. And then one realized the big, big picture. And as they went, he did a U-turn. And he went back. And he expressed to Jesus, he threw himself at his feet and he said, "Thank you. Thank you." Even more important to him than gaining acceptance back into community was the need in his spirit to go back to Jesus, the author of life, the author of healing, the only one who could bring about his redemption, to say thanks. Let's not forget to do a U-turn. Amen. Let's not forget what Jesus has saved us from. Let's not forget that there are people all around us who are still living there and need the hands and feet of Jesus to reach out to them. The account leaves the impression that the ten had not walked very far away from their healer before one did a U-turn. And as he returned, he praised God, publicly acknowledging him as the one to whom he had owed a great debt. And Luke adds with emphasis, "And he was a Samaritan." As though to say, of all the guys that you at least expect that a Samaritan would come back to a Jewish rabbi to give thanks, of all 10 guys, who would think he'd be the one? And Jesus affirmed his coming. And it's almost as though Jesus is a little disappointed that the other 9 didn't come back. They had every opportunity. And then Jesus did the second thing for him. Luke chapter 17 through 19. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Were not all of us cleansed? Where are the others?" The other 9 lepers were healed too, but the blessing. Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." I don't know how the story ultimately ends, but I do know that Jesus affirmed this man's thankfulness and gratitude. Amen. It seems to infer that ingratitude is very common. The majority forget where the healing came from. The majority forget to give thanks. Let's be among the ones who do the U-turn. Amen. Well, we give thanks with words from the heart. This man returned praising God in a loud voice. Praising God in a loud voice. "Jesus, thank you." Loud enough for people to hear and to see him. "Jesus, thank you." Let's not leave all our excitement for the ball games. Amen. "Jesus, thank you for all you have done. Great is your love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We give thanks through expressions of humility. This man threw himself at Jesus' feet. I just can only imagine how warm God's heart got right there. Because here's a guy who didn't forget where he'd come from. And we give thanks through worship. Worship is a weekly opportunity to come together and make a joyful noise. To lift our voices in praise together in unity, in gratitude and thanksgiving Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As our worship team comes, let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come and return today. We praise you that you saw an even deeper need than what we summoned our request to you. We thank you, Lord, that you not only demonstrated your power in the physical, but also, and even more importantly, in the spiritual. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that wellness is more than just being physically fit. That if we're not well spiritually, if we're not well emotionally, if we're not well relationally, Lord, we're still in need of your touch and grace in our lives. So, Lord, bring it, we pray. We need your touch to go all the way in and through our lives, Lord, bringing your graceful redemption that we may be saved to the uttermost. We praise you, Jesus, for saving us from our sin, from our past, from our guilt, from our shame, for saving us from ourselves, that yours is the only ultimate healing and saving, and you still do it today. Jesus, we return to give you thanks. You are worthy. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Making me like you, clothing me in white. ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
I love that last song. It was great. And that's what that leper's singing. Your praise will always be on my lips. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our thank offering, we'll go ahead and extend that for another week. That is for world evangelism. As we fix our sights on places where the church is not yet, we join with over 30,000 local congregations of the Church of the Nazarene as we participate in what we call a thank offering. And it's just a way for us to say thank you to God as we participate and send an offering to where the church is not yet. It means we plant churches. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Friday, December 1st is our annual downtown Christmas walk. In the past years, we've hosted over 1,000 people in the community. This is going to be a big one. Santa Claus is going to be right over there somewhere on an iceberg. And probably have 1,000 people at least come through. So we need some cookies and decorators and helpers. Mark your calendars and help in hosting this event. But also we need help. We have a work night here on Tuesday night to help with decorating and getting ready. You wouldn't know it from looking at it from here, but that tree only has about half the lights on it. We need some help with all kinds of decorating, and we've got lots of decorations. So work nights, is this Thursday Thanksgiving? It is, isn't it? So we've been having work nights on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so not Thursday, unless you want to come and work off your turkey. And no, we won't have it here, obviously. Tuesday night will be the only one this week, so hope you can come, and that's from 6 to 8. Advent prayer begins November 28th on the Wednesday nights at 7, as we kind of combine that with our intercessory prayer time at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, November 28th. And then remember, there's a Christmas open house at our place on Thursday night, December 14th. We had quite a few with needs to take them out of town this week. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to delay the Pathways and Faith and Action meeting. Let's reschedule that for a time after Thanksgiving. Would that be all right? Yes.
After the Christmas walk.
Okay. It's important that we have, you know, pretty good critical mass there at that meeting, and I know that some had to be called away this week to other things going on for family and things, and it probably wasn't the best idea to schedule it right before Thanksgiving because people are on the road. So, all right, we'll reschedule that. We'll let you know what the date is on that, and let's close with the doxology, shall we?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You guys are dismissed.
us whole. You shield our weakness, and strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame.